and she is so hungry. So I have to sacrifice and make sure I follow the nurse order or the doctor's order, not giving her anything to eat. Well, it was really painful seeing her not being able to eat. So I have to hug her, rock her, pray for her, get the prayer cloth anointed, and just try to make out until they came to run the test and let us know if she had to have major surgery. But God is on time, beginning to text my prayer partners again to pray what to pray for. And then one by one, here came the doctors, came in, the surgeon came in, and then he was like, oh, I don't think it's anything too serious. So we're just going to do this little minor incision and just go from there. Praise God. It shouldn't be that long. Praise the Lord. And I'm like, thank you, Jesus, because when the at first they were saying, oh, it may be really serious, may have to do a surgery. Praise God. But how many of you know God answered prayers, and he did that miracle where it wasn't serious, and we were in and out surgery, a little minor surgery they had to do, and it all went well in Jesus' name. And she, it was on her birthday where she turned 1 year old. And that evening, her mom and dad came with a cake and cupcakes. And I had to come home after they came. And so they sent us a picture of her with a face full of cake. And she was able to eat. Praise the Lord. And thank God for his healing. God is such an awesome God. He is an awesome God. And by her not eating, she didn't really eat anything until later that evening, but she did take a little bit of formula after the surgery, the minor surgery, praise the Lord, and that sustained her until she could really get her appetite back, praise the Lord, hallelujah. So I want to share that message about the lifeblood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Christ washes away our sins. I begin to think about how precious is that blood. There's life in the blood. Praise the Lord. Without the blood, we couldn't live. Praise God. And St. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Aren't you thankful for the blood today? The blood cleanses. The blood heals. Oh, God. And in spite of, in the midst of all the pain and all that we were going through, we could still feel joy and peace going through. Praise the Lord, because we know that blood is life, and a holy life was needed to make peace with God for us. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord today. She's well. Praise the Lord. Thanking God for our health, and thanking Jesus for his sacrifice on our behalf. Praise the Lord, shedding his precious blood, that we are already healed. Hallelujah. In Hebrews 9, chapter explains the meaning of the Old Testament blood ritual, verses 16 through 22, and the once and for all offering of Jesus that brought animal sacrifice to an end. Bearing our sin, he willingly died and shed his blood to become our sacrifice. We now have confidence to enter God's presence. Oh God, we can never thank him enough for making his sacrifice our sacrifice, his life our life, and his Father our Father. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank and praise him this morning for shedding of his blood for us, and we want to live our lives in gratitude to him. Praise the Lord. I love you on this morning. I appreciate you. Thank you so much for tuning in. And remember that Jesus is Lord. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. If you need a miracle on this morning, God's got it. Whatever you need, God's got it. Give it to him this morning. If it's salvation, or if it's financial needs, God's got it. Give it to him. And he loves us so much. Don't forget that lifeblood of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I love you and I appreciate you. And God bless. Until next week, God willing, you may call to me, 318-305-6965. Go on Facebook, tellingofhisgoodness.com. Inbox me there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Looking to hear from you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank the Lord. Amen. Say it one more time. God is good.
thank you for tuning in to the Telling of His Goodness broadcast. We pray you were inspired, blessed, and encouraged from hearing the Word of God today. If you would like a copy of my book, Telling of His Goodness, you may phone me at 318-305-6965. You may like me on Facebook, connect with me on Google Plus or Twitter. May God bless you until we meet again at the same time next week.
A wonder in my
soul. I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, Mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church. Pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations. 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive. Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Amen. Come on, let's give them another hand. I've heard that song many times, but not like that. Let's give our babies another hand. Come on. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity now to hear your word. Let the Holy Ghost in his perfect teaching, preaching ministry meet us in the text and unfold, disclose the truth that you desire to share with us today. We praise you, we give you honor and glory for what you will reveal to us. Give us power to practice the principles that we learn in your word, that we might give you all the praise as you bless us each and every day to walk more closely with thee. Now again, God, do as only you can do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm preaching from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're picking up at verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning at verse 4. But before we go there, I just want to share that this special time of communion and thinking of that Christ told us to do and not to forget. One of the things he made clear in John 15, 12, 13, and 14 was the fact that his commandment was that we love one another even as he has loved us. And then he said that greater love had no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And then in the 14th verse, he calls us friends with a stipulation, if you do whatsoever I command you. And so the message of love, out of all that we talk about, all that we do, must rise to the top and must yet be the foundation of all of our operations in the Lord. And so one of the things that Paul talks about, and we're continuing the message, love the the more excellent way. To help us deal with and understand the complexity and perplexity of the love of God. It is far deeper, far stronger. It is much richer and purer than any love we have ever known. And so we want to look at that today. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity, what? Vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Listen at this. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Then the word says, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. One of the things that I think is so important and helpful for us to understand first is this word charity. It is not just a word of benevolence or giving of alms or support or help or aid to someone who's less fortunate than yourself. It stems from the word agape, which is the God kind of love. It is the richest and the purest of loves, and certainly it is the love from which all other loves emanate from. The Bible says God is love. God is love. He doesn't put on love, he is love. He doesn't just demonstrate love, he is love. Love comes from him. It's an expression of who he is. And that's why God, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he did what?
Gave.
Why? Giving is an expression of love. So right is the saying, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. And so when people talk about I love you and there's nothing tangible, there's nothing meaningful, there is nothing necessary or needful to follow those words, that love is subject to being real and pure. And so when you begin to understand that love, listen, expresses itself in tangible ways, in demonstrative ways, and it's important to understand God is the greatest example of love because he is love. Amen. So this charity is talking about the agape love, the God kind of love. And my brothers and sisters, I think I need to throw out parenthetically that if you're going to do anything for God, you need the God kind of love. Because if you're going to serve God's people, you need God's love. God has told many of the prophets, don't worry, they ain't going to believe you because they didn't believe me. But I still have to tell them. God has encouraged many of the believers and workers of the kingdom because the people were hard-hearted and stiff-necked. God had to remind them, I know how they are. I know who they are. I know what they are. But his love would not allow him to give up on us. Amen. We who are made in his image and in his likeness, the chiefest of his creation, God showed, demonstrated love to the nth degree when it came to us. And he would not give up on us. And so because he would not give up on us, You think about what it costs God to love you. I said, you think about what it costs God to love you. Well, let me put it this way. You think about what it costs you to love who you say you love. Whether it's your spouse, whether it's your parents, whether it's your children, whether it's your job, whatever it is you say you love, you think about what it costs you to love you. Because listen, if it don't cost you nothing to love them, you ain't loving nobody. Have I got a piece of witness in the house? Love costs you much. And anybody who thinks love does not cost much don't know love. Love is not cheap. Now somebody might give cheap gifts that say they love, but love isn't cheap. There's a price you pay for love like none other. And it's all in the text. One of the things that I love about the word we have before us is it gives us 11 identified strengths of love. In verses 4, 5, 6, we find 11 strengths, identified strengths of love. Let's walk through them. First of all, if love is the more excellent way, look at how it begins. It says charity, interpreted as love, suffereth long. Now, right there, a whole lot of us would be counted out. Because we ain't gonna suffer. And if we do, it ain't gonna be long. Now, we might as well be real about this. That's why you need the God kind of love to make it in any other relationship. Eros is love between a man and a woman, but a love between a man and a woman has no real foundation if it's not based on agape love, on the God kind of love. It's only feelings and emotions and physicalness. The physical attributes of what we call love is not love. And many of us miss that. And so that's one of the reasons why you can fall in and out of love so easily, because you attach your feelings to your emotions and your emotions to your sight. So what you see, you like. And once you no longer like what you see, after the love is gone, what used to be right is wrong. You know, you take all of that when you're in love, but when you don't, talk to the hand, the faith ain't living. Can't we just talk about it? Ain't nothing to talk about. You just get caught and short and rude. The Bible says love suffereth long. Now, look at church work, and I want you to keep it in the context of whatever love we're dealing with, whether it's the godly love as it relates to God's work, and I'm talking about godly people. Think about how godly folk try your nerves, try your patience, try you, test you. If it weren't for Jesus, you would speak in tongues and they wouldn't all be holy. Because there are just some things you get tired of. Love suffereth long. But notice what it says. Two is kind. Wait a minute. Suffereth long and is kind. That don't go together. Not in the natural love. But in the godly love, kindness is right after suffering. That does not produce kindness, suffering. But in the God kind of love, it does. Because what God demonstrates to us is that the end result is greater than the ups and downs of the journey. Saving that soul is more important to God in the end than the ups and downs that God has to deal with, even in his love for them. those who say they love God, but then they act like they are number one Ace Boon Coon with the devil. They confer more with the devil than they do with God. They are in the devil's house more than they're in God's house. They spend more of their money on devilish things than they do godly things. They give their money away. They go to clubs and to boats and to stores and buy y'all getting quiet on me. But they won't pay their tithes and they won't give their offerings. Yeah. I mean, I can keep on going on about what they do, but yet God doesn't deal with them harshly. He deals with them with kindness. Then love envieth not. Love is not envious of anyone. Love is so pure and so rich and so holy that there is nothing greater than love. So if there's nothing greater than God's love, what does he have to envy about anybody or about anything? And when you have the godly love, the God kind of love in you, you don't have to envy anybody. It might be their day, might be their time, their ship has come in, God is blessing them right now, but here's what you know, yours is on the way. I don't have to be envious about what God is doing or has done for you, because I know mine is coming. Listen, the love that God wants us to have should not be any kind of love that causes us to act up. We don't have to brag. People who brag have something missing under the skin. They have to be validated by other folk. They have to be validated by what they paid for something. They have to be validated by what they've done. But see, when it's right, you don't have to boast and brag about what you do and what you have and all that's concerning you. You're not puffed up. You know what puffed up is? It's a whole lot of air and a whole lot less substance. I think I told y'all before, I don't like the puffed Cheetos. I like the crunchy. You put 3-4 big old puff Cheetos in your mouth and crunch all the way down, hurt your teeth. You think you got yourself something there, but it's all puffed up. That's the way a lot of folk are. They're just puffed up, nothing to them. When a bullfrog feels threatened, is it? Why does it puff itself up? To make its enemy, its adversary, believe it's larger than it is. Listen, we are what we are by the grace of God. What you see is what you get. All that puffed up, putting on make believe, trying to act like you what you aren't, that doesn't benefit anybody. First of all, it's an insult to God, because he made you. He knows all about you. If he wanted you puffed up, he'd have puffed you up.
Yeah.
But he made you in the image of him. He made you in the way he designed. He made you like that would please him, not for others. But we're puffed up with pride, we're puffed up with self, we're puffed up with those things that are not eternal, but they're temporal. Look at else. Love does not behave unseemly. It's not self-serving. It's not rude. Why? Because one of the things that you're going to note about this kind of love is you don't have to be rude. You don't have to be. For what? What does that prove? When I see somebody who's rude and having issues and I don't even know them, and they're acting like, you know, you drive through, you go to when people got attitude and stuff and they nasty. You know, the first response in the natural is like, what's your problem? I'm the reason the doors are open here. Your job exists to serve me. If me and other folk like me stopped coming, you wouldn't have a job. But for you to act like I'm bothering you on your job because I want a little service with politeness, listen, that's why businesses go, in spite of how good the product is, sometimes the people run people from their business. Because they don't know how to handle people. They don't know how to be courteous. They don't know how to enter into conversation, communication, represent the place or the people or the ownership or the business the correct way. Love doesn't do that. Love doesn't misrepresent God. God is not rude. God don't act like many of us act in Jesus' name. We act worse than people in the world, some of us. You come into church and church folk are some of the hellish folk you want to find on planet Earth, but we're on our way to heaven. Anyhow. You don't believe me? Just look at some of them. Roll their eyes. If they could roll out of their head, I said, just keep on rolling them. Just keep on rolling them. Keep on. I'm going to tell the Lord, let them stick in that position. Yeah, I mean, what's all of that for? People speak to get up there and mess up. Like you can do better. And you get up there and you with all of that hum, hum, yin, hum. What is that? You get up there and get happy because you forgot what you got to say. Oh, Jim! That's only because you forgot your place. You just know how to play yours off. Young folk hadn't learned that yet. Seeketh not her own. It's not love. Look, listen. God's love is not selfish, self-serving. God's love is not easily provoked. Look, I'm still asking you while you're looking at the price of God's love to look at your love as it relates to you loving somebody else and see how much this already would have cost you. How long can you be angry and not sin? God's love is not easily provoked, which means this. God's not like you. God's not like me. God doesn't get angry and go off the first moment we miss the boat or we mess up or we say this or we do that and just send him off. If it would have happened that way, none of us would be here right now. You see, because even if God would have forgiven us, you know, like we say, strike three, you out. Can any of us even remember when we had strike three? I mean, I'm talking about, I'm talking about.